If you have some other ideas, I guess that's fine. Okay, so.
I'll see one question. Actually, in the document which you sent, it doesn't really talk about installation of this, right?
Which document?
The one which
Oh,
you sent.
no.
It just says how, I mean, they've used it and.
That's right. It's just analysis
But I
of the
can find you
crisis.
the version of Linux, the distribution what they use.
Yeah. It do, does it specify?
I'm not sure. I didn't check that.
No, it should have been specified. I mean,
They should have, I think, right? I think it's
not
probably a
necessarily.
next BSD version. Or you can find some other paper where they have used machine language.
You know, the other possibility is to, if, I don't know if HP Unix is available free of, as a free installation. If it is, then we could try it on a virtual machine and, yeah. I don't think they write anything. One thing which you could do is write to David Pease and ask what he was doing. But this is from way back, right? I don't know when this was actually published. And there are references to papers in 93.
It was 2000 something, 305.
2000, there are references to paper in 2000. Yeah. Yeah, so, but that would be, I think, one of the possibilities. Write to David Pease, write to those guys, you know, John Wilkes and.
Right, so the other thing I was thinking is, do we really need the Cello 99 traces then for the other project which you have? Or can we just use some other traces that they have, the SPC, their traces, for instance?
Oh, the SPC traces I already used. And
Okay.
the problem with the SPC traces are that they are really, really short.
Okay.
So most of the traces are 1 hour traces. There is
Really?
one trace which is 2 day trace.
Oh, okay.
And that's the problem. And the other, actually there is one trace which is 1 week long, but it most of the activity is in the first day, and then there is nothing going on in the rest of the days.
Okay.
So I did some analysis with the SPC traces already, with the financial
Okay.
as well as the
Both the financial cases.
two financial and three web
And
search.
the web, okay.
So I did with all of them.
Okay.
There was only one reasonable trace, which was the web search, which was, I think, perhaps a week long. But even that trace had only activity in the first day, and then it had no, almost nothing. That's the problem.
Okay.
So there are no other traces, I think, which are longer term. If we can find some other long duration trace, that would be great. We need multi-disk traces, though. The cello seems to be, cello has 25 disks. I'm guessing that there are at least three or four RAIDs in there.
Yeah, definitely.
And that would certainly help.
Yeah, that's true. And cello is a year-long trace.
It is a year-long trace.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So the other thing about upgrade, compared to workout, it does seem like it's a step behind
Okay.
if you compare it with workout.
Okay.
So
Does upgrade win anywhere?
because with upgrade you can do either one of the two things, reliability or performance. It's hard to do both because of the load balancing issue. The only thing is in the space is that you don't need an extra RAID set. And can be used in the existing RAID 5 systems without, you know, adding another RAID set, a sort of RAID set. So it doesn't require any additional hardware.
So if I have a standalone RAID system, does it make sense to use Workout?
If you have, I mean, in that case, it would be better to use upgrade, but we don't know if upgrade is going to give as much performance. I mean, what would be the goal of upgrade here, performance or reliability?
You tell me.
Because either way, it wouldn't perform as good as workout, but it would perform better than the normal Linux RAID 5.
Okay, let's say that our goal is reliability.
Okay. Right, so for reliability, it would perform better construction than vanilla wave pipe, but not with workout.
Okay.
And it's because of the interfering IO.
Okay. So the first question is are there environments where it would not be feasible to have workout, but you can have upgrade?
I think there are more environments where it's not feasible to have upgrade than workout.
Okay. Why do you say that?
Because, for instance, for write intensive workloads, workout just writes to the new RAID. And the reconstruction process continues on the RAID system, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in upgrade, it's the same system, so we're going to have the head movement there with new writes and with reconstruction writes.
Yeah. So that's the specific workload you're talking about. I'm talking about environment.
Okay. Environment.
Infrastructure, in terms of infrastructure, environment.
Well, yeah, with workout, you need additional hardware. With upgrade, you don't. So when you can't provide additional hardware, you know, because of cost or any other constraints.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you just want to plug in a module, then you can use upgrade.
Plug in a...
You just insert a module, right, with upgrade. You're not going to do any actual changes to the system. A whole lot of changes to the system.
What are the changes that we are making to the system with upgrade?
We are just creating the partition.
Mm-hmm.
And using upgrade module.
And in workout?
Workout, you need a whole surrogate rate set.
And so the question is...
the surrogate rate set and workout can be used for, different rates. Can use the same for surrogate rate set. That's the advantage in workout. And it can be used for other processes other than reconstruction.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the question is, are there environments where using a surrogate RAID is not feasible, and in which case workout is out of the question?
So for RAID systems, I think for a commodity RAID system, it's more feasible for them to use something like workout because they can afford to have a surrogate RAID.
Commodity RAID systems, you mean, are you referring to high-end RAID systems?
Right, yeah.
Which are not commodity. Those are not commodity.
Or even commodity RAID systems.
Okay, so if you build a commodity...
So it would be... probably it could be possible to have a surrogate RAID because you can have more than one RAID system.
So that's my question. What sort of environments where you would have more than one RAID system versus environments where you have a single RAID system, right?
Mm.
Or is there really no environment where you have a single RAID standalone system being used? Maybe there are several RAID systems, but these RAID systems do not really interact or connect to each other.
Yeah.
If they do not, is there a straightforward way to make them connect and actually use something like workout? So those are the kind of questions that need to be thought about.
Right, yeah. But we can't get this information in papers or anything, right? There haven't been papers that talk about this.
No, you can find information online as to what kind of products and what kind of usage scenarios do people have for RAID systems.
Yeah.
So that would be one direction of exploration.
Okay. Yeah, that could.
And if there is any environment that where upgrade like system makes a lot more practical sense,
right,
than a workout like system? And that's the kind of question that needs to be answered.
Exactly, yeah.
And there is a other different question, which is upgrade versus RAID 6, and need to model the cost and benefits of having something like a extra drive and doing a RAID 6 instead of upgrade in terms of hardware cost, in terms of I/O cost. Those are the kind of, that's the study that you need to be doing.
Okay. So, right, but we claim, or we will be claiming that upgrade can be used with RAID 6.
Yeah. But if I'm using upgrade with RAID 5, is it better to use upgrade with RAID 5 or to do a RAID 6?
Or just to RAID 6.
Okay. So if I can just do a RAID 6, then instead of using upgrade with RAID 6, I can do a RAID 7 or whatever it is that I need to do to get an additional degree of protection.
Yeah.
What do we gain? And the answer has to necessarily address questions of the probabilities of second disk failure during reconstruction.
Right.
And what is the probability of that? How much does the probability decrease when you use upgrade? And is that decrease sufficient to reduce the probability of second disk failure to zero or close to zero from some significant value? What I mean is that if you put an upgrade in there, how much am I reducing the probability of having a second failure during reconstruction?
Mm-hmm.
And is that reduction good enough to actually say that the probability of having second disk failure during reconstruction is negligible? But without upgrade, it is actually significant. That's our whole point with the reliability argument, right?
Yeah.
That we want to shrink down the reconstruction interval so that the probability of having a second disk failure during the reconstruction interval
right.
is zero or close to zero.
Yeah.
Certainly, probabilities cannot be zero. So it has to be some negligible amount.
Yeah.
And practically, zero. So you'll have to do some reading up on what are the failure rates that are being reported. There are a whole bunch of papers that have recently discussed, especially the mean time to failure paper, 100,000 or whatever it is. That, and then there is also studies, for instance, I think Lakshmi has done a whole bunch of work in terms. They have some what?
Yeah, analysis of data corruption to attack. That was talking about.
Oh yeah, that one paper. Which is it? Just the disk or the dominant contributors of failures?
That and or is that Lakshmi's paper?
Analysis of data corruption is Lakshmi's paper.
Okay.
Are this the dominant contributors? Yeah, that may be also relevant. That's from YYZoo. And also, there is a latent sector errors paper, because the problem is that not just about double disk failure, but also about having incorrect reads or write operations during reconstruction. What is the probability that you get a checksum mismatch during reconstruction? If you get that, then basically it means that data is lost. It's not as bad as losing an entire drive, but it is certainly a problem, because then you had to go and restore from backup.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, in this case, we will also have to do an estimate of how much cache space we should use, right? I mean, I guess here it is more important to give that information to the reader.
Yeah, and at this point, we don't need to say how much. What we need to argue for is that the amount of scratch space that might be required is within reasonable range. Say, okay, you can make do with a certain percentage of the storage space dedicated as scratch space. And that is good enough for capturing locality. Now, but that question is based on the workload analysis. Okay, so if I have that information, then I can say, okay, here is the range for these classes of workloads, here is the... Okay, so what's next? What do you want to work on next? I mean, have you thought about some other ideas that can replace upgrade?
No, just kind of comparing what.
You didn't spend time thinking about any new ideas?
I was thinking maybe we could have like a... like a RAID system, a new RAID system, so it's just great, but I'm not sure if that's the right way to go right now. Maybe we should just, you know, explore these folks, and if we scratch out a place completely, then we can go in that direction.
So when you say a new RAID system, what is the direction you are thinking? I mean, what kind of new RAID system are you thinking about?
Well, something on similar lines with upgrade. I didn't completely think about it because I thought we should first, you know.
There is no restriction to thinking about new ideas, Meena. You have
right,
to do that all the time.
Right, but at this point, I thought it was more better to focus on upgrade. But that was one possible thing I thought we could.
I just want you to change your mode from sort of directed PhD student to exploratory PhD student. And that change needs to happen before you graduate.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be part of your training as well. It's where you start independently thinking of new ideas. And that doesn't happen without initiative. You have to force yourself to think, okay, about, okay, what are the problems that are out there? To find the source of the problems, you can take two approaches, okay? One is that you can just identify a domain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, say I want to do multi-disk storage, or I want to do distributed storage, or I want to work in the file systems, in the reliability of file systems. And then you see, okay, what is the current state of the art? Or you can either start that way, so you examine all the things that are there, or you can say, okay, I want to build a file system that has these properties.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think my current set of file systems, I have an intuition that they do not address this problem. And then I need to find out, okay, how do I get to that point? What are the key research problems that need to be addressed so that I can have, let's say, the ultimately reliable file system,
mm-hmm.
where I don't really care about performance, I don't care about anything, I want to care about reliability. If I start from a blank slate, what are the kind of research challenges that I need to address? And then I build my design around that. And then, you know, of course, I need to check, okay, has anyone else done something like this or not? Okay, so that's one way. And the second way is certainly look at all the designs that are out there and see what's missing and then say, okay, these are the new unique things that need to be addressed and I'm going to address that. Okay, so that is the paradigm where you take a problem space,
mm-hmm.
and then you start thinking about new directions in that problem space. The second approach is you look at all the recent work that's going on and find out what new research directions require to be addressed. So you don't have a problem space. You look at, let's say, all the papers in FAST 2008.
Mm-hmm.
What are the kind of problems that are being alluded to by those research papers? Okay. So, for instance, to give you an example, people have been talking about, let's say, disk data corruption. Okay. The and this is something that I was thinking about over the weekend, so it's not something which is spontaneous, but this is one way that you can look at the current problems that people have been talking about. They say, okay, these are the problems that have been alluded to by researchers already, and they've already made a strong statement that these problems do exist, that the bit error rate is constant over the years, but the capacities have been multiplying at a tremendous rate. So which means that the probability of seeing bit errors on current disk drives is substantially higher than the probability of seeing bit errors 10 years ago. And the other thing is that, okay, if you put together another thought, which is, okay, most people are storing all the critical data on a single disk drive. So if you lose, let's say, a super block on that disk drive, all the data is gone.
Yeah.
Okay, because the probability of errors have increased, the probability of the super block developing an error is increasing. As we speak, some drive somewhere is losing all its data, right? So, or you lose some directory entry or some inode, you lose some critical file, whatever it is, anything that you might lose, you lose. And the other trend is that people are not moving in droves towards making their storage systems reliable, especially for personal storage. There are some people who do backups. For instance, people do nightly backups. Some people do that, but most people do not. So the question is, what is the answer? Here is a problem. How do I come up with a solution? That's my research question.
Okay.
Can I do something with nothing? Can I actually not force them to do nightly backups, but still provide with them at the same cost a system that is substantially more reliable and has a more stricter guarantees as to what it will lose and how much it can lose over what granularity of that. So these are just examples, right? But what I want you to change your attitude towards the research that you're doing, because now you're at the end of your journey, right? And you have to start thinking more independently, start exploring problems, come to me with your ideas, and then we can discuss them. So I think...
I think there are enough problems to think about.
There are lots of problems. I mean, you just need to spend time thinking about them.
Right,
and you have to sit in one place and shut yourself off and focus yourself on thinking. And I was thinking about this problem that I just described. And I was thinking, how do we solve this? And I came up with some solutions, but they didn't really pop out. And they didn't really, okay, yeah, this may work, but this has a whole bunch of other problems. How do I deal with this? And so as you're sitting and, you know, sort of introspecting about some of these research problems, you will not get answers right away. Okay. I shouldn't say you will not, but it is most likely that you will not get your answers right away. Because if you are getting those answers right away, people would already have done that.
Yeah.
Okay, it requires a fair amount of introspection and letting it sit inside your brain. Let your brain sort of absorb all the dimensions to the problem. But you absorb that over time. You don't absorb that immediately as you're thinking actively.
Yes, one thing leads to another, and you gradually develop through it.
Yeah. So the next day I had another idea which seemed substantially more promising.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a couple of other ideas which seem to be reasonable, but not as promising as the one that I had the next day. So the point is that you certainly have to put yourself into the mode of shutting yourself off from, you know, any distractions and thinking about it, but not with the expectation that I will have my answer right now. You might have the answer next day, you know, before you go to sleep, or, you know, during your eating, or whatever it is that but some offline activity where you're not forcing yourself to think. It might happen that way, or it might happen the next time you spend time introspecting. But the key is to consciously engage yourself in that activity.
Yeah.
Because if you do not and just wait for ideas to come, they will not come. Because your brain is not ready to create those ideas. You have to put yourself forcibly into that long chunks of introspective durations so that these ideas start coming.
So,
I don't know if you're already doing that or not, but if you're not, this is really the time you should be doing these things.
I guess right now the big problem is just finishing the PhD on time, not really.
But the whole point of doing a PhD is to,
right, but
is
I'm
to
not
be
really
prepared
about
with...
that because when I was in Meta, that's what I had to do. Nobody was telling me what to do, at least for the first time. They gave me a completely different problem and I worked on a completely different thing later on, which way. So, I guess I'm a little confident about that, you know, about finding problems and finding solutions to them. So, I don't know.
Yeah, because I don't see that yet.
Yeah, because so far I guess we've been having like common meetings and all of us that have been brainstorming for it, really much.
Yeah, but my point is that your independent ideas I haven't seen till date. They may be part of some project, some something that we do.
Right.
But my point is that you are at a stage where you have to start creating independent new ideas.
Okay, but upgrade is a part of my dissertation. Does
it is part of the dissertation, but at this point it is not looking very good.
Right.
So what do we do? And regardless of whether upgrade is part of your dissertation or not, you can always say that, well, new findings have led me to believe that this is not the right direction to pursue. And you convince your committee members and talk to them saying, okay, I want to, instead of doing upgrade, I want to do something else. And I think that's perfectly reasonable. You propose something, but the world around you is not sitting idle. Things change. What you thought was great last year is no longer great.
Okay.
Or no longer as great. So should you still be spending your time on this activity, given that you have the knowledge that there is a different solution that seems to be more promising?
Okay.
But regardless of all this, the idea about creative activity is independent.
Mm-hmm.
It is completely independent. Whether you pursue it or not, whether you make it your project or not, you still have to engage in that activity.
Yeah.
I don't know if this makes any sense or not.
Yeah, it does, of course.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, now I would certainly like for you to come with your new and independent ideas so that we can discuss.
Okay.
Because some of these ideas will help you. For instance, if upgrade doesn't make sense, do you have a backup idea to work on?
I don't think of a backup idea yet, but I would think...
No, I'm saying that if you were thinking of new ideas during this time, then you would have maybe two or three different other things that you could work on if something doesn't work out, you know, which could be the case that upgrade is not making any much sense now that some other solution seems more promising.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm saying is that this is, you have to force yourself to continuously brainstorm. It's not that you always have to work on your current project and, you know, get the current thing done. You also have to allocate chunks of time where you go into exploratory mode, because otherwise you are completely constraining that part of your development. Okay, so what are the next steps? Do you want to think about this problem that I just told you?
Yeah, I think I will. And do what other things we discussed. If you can motivate upgrade with whatever we discussed so far, then I guess it's okay. But even then, I don't think upgrade will give as good a performance as work out.
Performance, reliability, we need to identify which ones we want to focus on.
Either, actually. Yeah. It won't give you know, the performance and reliability of the workout.
Yeah, but we talked about some issues that need to be addressed. Environments where workout cannot be
exactly
used.
Exactly. So if we can motivate,
so if we, if these are, this is not an apples to oranges comparison.
Exactly.
Then does it make sense to do something like upgrade?
Right. Right. But we need to motivate upgrade actually. Places where it can be used.
Yeah.
If it can be used, it's still going to not perform as good as workout, but better than week 5.
No, but if you cannot use workout, there is no comparison. If you cannot use workout in your environment,
yes,
then there is no comparison.
Yes.
What are you comparing against? You're comparing against RAID 6.
Right.
And then you have to talk about the other part of the argument. Why is upgrade better than, you know, upgrade on RAID 5 better than RAID 6?
Yes.
Or to what extent is it better? What about performance? What about reliability?
Mm.
Is that, is the trade-off between performance and reliability different in upgrade? And perhaps more attractive than the trade-off in RAID 6.
Mm-hmm.
Right, those are the sort of questions that we need to address.
Yeah.
Why does RAID 6 still exist? I think people are still using RAID 6. Not necessarily using workout. And so one of the reasons is because they just wrote this paper. Okay. The other reason is maybe there are environments where you just cannot use workout.
Yeah.
Having something like RAID 6 makes much more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good idea actually. You can see where RAID 6 is used in workout environments.
I would also suggest that you think of a backup project. The backup project could be what I just described to you.
The one about hard disk failure and the boot.
Yeah, the reliability of single drive systems.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you improve that? How do you make something out of nothing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just have that device that has a specific failure rate. Can you actually make it more reliable?
Mm-hmm.
Using software, let's say.
Yeah,
that's just one example of a problem, but you can, you know, think of other problems, bring it up, bring your ideas, and we can certainly brainstorm.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, when do you want to meet next?
Are you going to be here on Thursday and Friday, or are you going to
Thursday? I will be here on Thursday.
Okay.
And probably on Friday as well, but I'm not sure.
Okay. We can meet on Thursday, or we can meet next week, Monday.
It's up to you. I mean, if you think that you need to move faster, then we need to meet more often. Possibly, but we don't have to meet if there is nothing to talk
about. Are you here on Friday?
I don't know yet. I may be here, but I'm not sure.
Okay, Thursday may see you a little too.
Okay, yeah, we'll see.
If I have something like that, I'll send you an email. You can meet on Friday if you're coming on Monday.
Okay. All right. And let me know how you progress with the cello traces.
Yeah, let you know what that is. You need to be
sure. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I'll send you a recording of this. I'll post it online.
Okay. Yes.
Do we have a page, by the way?
Yeah.
We do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'll also put the minutes for the meeting there, so we have something in front of you. You don't have to wait for the recording each time.
Okay. Yeah. That's.
You just take bullets of what we discussed and what the next tasks are going to be.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, thank you.
Thanks.